Chapter 3. Daniel Rodney Valiente was 38 years old. Framed in the doorway, taller than his father, he was as pale of complexion as his mother had been, but his hair was as dark as Joshua's. He wore a practical-looking hooded coverall and carried a small leather bag on a strap slung over one shoulder. Joshua suspected that this would be all the possessions he had with him, all the permanent possessions he owned at all, maybe. Now he stalked into the mayor's office, looked around with faint disgust at the heaps of gear, vacated Bill's chair of junk, and sat down. All this without a word. Joshua suppressed a sigh. He felt moved to button up his shirt, however, in his son's stern presence. Then he collected Bill's half-empty mug from the desk and moved to the kitchen area. "So?" he said. "So? You want a coffee? There's some in the pot." Rod, as he now insisted on being called, shook his head. "I managed to lose my caffeine addiction years ago. One less craving you have to fulfill out in the high megas."
"Water then? The town supply has been clean again since..."
"I'm fine."
Joshua nodded, dumped the mugs, and sat on a stool from which he had to clear a set of climbing grips.
"I'm glad you came."
"Why?"
Joshua sighed.
"Obviously, because since your mother died, we're all we've got, you and I."
Rod was stone-faced.
"You haven't got me, Dad. Nor have I got you."
"Rod.
And why, once again, are you disappearing into the wilds of the Long Earth, just as you did throughout my childhood, periodically? Just as you did when your marriage to my mother broke down? An out-of-date note to say, 'Hi, I'm off again,' doesn't really cut it, Dad. Besides, aren't you too damn old for these stunts now?"
"You know, Rod, Daniel, I feel like I've had a lifetime of your judgments. Maybe everybody blames their parents."
Rod cut him off.
"I only came here to talk about your will."
"Okay. Look, it's all duly witnessed and notarized, both here in hell knows where and in an Aegis office back in Madison West 5.
"Dad, I don't care about the legal stuff. And I don't want anything from you. I just want to be sure I understand it before you disappear and break your damn neck in the wilderness. And I never see you again."
"Fine. Well, you know the basic provision. Aside from a few gifts, such as to the home in Madison, I left it all to your Aunt Katie back in Reboot. Or her surviving descendants. Simple as that."
Katie was Helen's older sister. Along with their parents, just a decade or so after Step Day, the Green sisters had trekked on foot off into the Long Earth and had taken part in the founding of a new community, Reboot, on the edge of the band of fecund worlds that had become known as the Corn Belt. Helen had left Reboot when she met Joshua, but Katie had stayed, married, raised a couple of healthy daughters, and eventually, granddaughters. But there was a dark underside to the story. The Green girls had had a brother, Rodney, who was a phobic, as the jargon had emerged, constitutionally incapable of stepping. As the family trekked away, Rodney was left behind with an aunt, and in the end, Rodney had taken part in the destruction of Madison, Wisconsin, with a backpack nuke, and had spent the rest of his life in jail. When he had learned the full family story, Joshua's son Daniel Rodney had abandoned his childhood name, Dan, and adopted the name of his broken uncle. It was just one element of the tension between father and son. Now Joshua said,
"It's not as if there's anybody I could give it to on your side, is there?"
Rod sighed. "It's called an extended marriage, Dad. I'm one of 15 husbands now. There are 18 wives and 24 kids at the last count. It's kind of vague. We're spread over many worlds and we keep moving. Look, I'm in a steady relationship with Sophia for now. Sophia Piper. You never met her and never will. And kind of foster uncle to her nephews. Step uncle, whatever. The old labels don't really apply. It's flexible but stable. And it suits Long Earth migrants like me just fine. It's already 2 decades since the first pairing that began it all."
"It's trippy coma bullshit is what it is. and it's not recognized in aegis lore. When it comes to inheritance of property, we don't have any property to speak of, Dad. That's kind of the point.
You seem to have made a conscious choice not to have had a kid of your own.
And take part in that disgusting old stepper mass breeding experiment?
It needn't be like that.
You yourself were the product of a planned match, Dad. And look how well that turned out. Your mother dead at childbirth? Your father a sexual predator and a bum? A centuries-old conspiracy to selectively breed natural steppers? Things like that don't just fade away. And look at what it unleashed on mankind, all the destabilization of Step Day.
We wouldn't be sitting here if not for that, Rod. Look, I was never approached, so the fund didn't seem to be functioning in my generation, did it? And certainly your mother and her family had nothing to do with any of that. Your own uncle was a full-on phobic.
Bullshit. You can be the carrier of a gene without it necessarily expressing in you.
Oh, whatever.
For better or worse, this line of the Valiente family, at least, ends with me, along with our tainted genome.
Fine, Joshua snapped. He looked at his son in the mayor's chair, stiff, not remotely at his ease, as if he was about to light out of there at any moment.
You damn youngsters think you invented it all.
Rod stood up.
I think we're done here, don't you?
Oh, here. I brought you a gift. Sophia's idea. He handed over a slim case. Inside were lightweight sunglasses. Joshua glanced through them and squinted.
These are prescription.
Yeah, your prescription. Found it in Mom's files.
Don't need no spectacles.
Sure you do.
Oh, use them or not.
So long, Dad.
And he walked out. Joshua just stood there holding the glasses, surrounded by his orderly rows of travel goods, for an unmapped time. Then there was another knock at the door. Sister Agnes.